May the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1068. Jesus, full of all compassion, hear thy humble suppliant's cry. Let me know thy great salvation. See I languish, faint and die. 1068.
Thank you. From the Word of God, we will read the opening chapter in the Gospel as recorded by John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness of all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is a record of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" He answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him, and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered him, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me.' And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.' Again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, 'What seek ye?' They said unto him, 'Rabbi,' which is to say, being interpreted, 'Master,' 'where dwellest thou?' He saith unto them, 'Come and see.' Came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day. For it was about the 10th hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonas. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May God Almighty bless unto us his own precious word. May he help us in prayer. Most gracious, holy and almighty God, we thank thee for thy mercies, which bring us to the beginning of a new week of time, and again around thy precious word on this thy day of rest. Now, Lord, as we come to worship thee, give us, Lord, that worshipping frame. Give us, Lord, that realization of thy majesty, greatness, power, wisdom, understanding, compassion. Help us, Lord, to worship thee, God, who we have proved to be our God and our Saviour. Pray, O Lord, that thou wouldst bless thy word unto us. Pardon, forgive our many sins. Wash us in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lead us to the Lamb of God. May by faith we behold him as John did. And may we behold him as our Lamb, as our Saviour. Grant, Lord, that thy word may come with power into our hearts. The authority from heaven, the seal of the Spirit. Grant unto us to know that rest of faith, that reliance upon thee, that looking unto Jesus, emptied of earth we fain would be, the world, ourselves, and all but thee, only reserved for Christ that died, surrendered to the crucified. O Lord, we pray we might know that religion, that knowledge of thee as our Saviour and as our everlasting all. That knowledge of ourselves as poor wretched sinners, but yet sinners saved by grace and mercy and love. Help us this day, fix our eyes on Jesus. Pray thy blessing upon this people. We ask, Lord, that thou would speak unto them and feed them in their ever-dying souls, and grant them thy help in their providential pathways. Bless the deacons and help them in the office thou hast called them to, and grant them wisdom and grace. Bless each member of the church and keep them together in love and union. May they grow in grace and fruit in knowledge of thee. Keep them in the way and keep them together. And do add unto their number those whom thou hast eternally saved. And gracious God, bless each member of this congregation, those present and those away, and any unable to be in the house of God. Bless those who are elderly. Sanctify old age, weakness, weariness of the body, loneliness, bereavement, sorrow, trial, pain, affliction, distress. Lord, prepare them for their journey's end. May their journey end well. May it end with thee. And bless those in the midst of life, for its busy burdens, cares, concerns, needs. Bless parents, help them to bring up children in thy holy fear. Help them to set a right example to them. Help them to pray for them, and may they live to see answers to those prayers. Help them to guide them in thy ways. Keep Satan at bay. Bless the children, the young people. Open doors for them. Teach them of thee and of their need of thee, and supply that need. And may a generation be raised up to serve thee here. And when before thee we appear in our eternal home, may growing numbers worship here and praise thee in our room. Bless seeking souls. May they find thee today. Bless burdened souls. May they be relieved of their burdens today. Those who long for pardon, Lord, lead them to the cross to behold the Lamb of God. Bless those who are dead in sin by bringing them into life. And do bless those who thou hast given life to and are perhaps in some cases well on the journey of that life of faith. Lord, grant that establishing, that strengthening, that deepening of the work. upbearing forth of more fruit. And that fruit might remain. May we be kept by the power of God, preserved in Jesus. Bring back those who have strayed and wandered from thy ways. Stretch forth thine almighty, omnipotent power and arm, and grant that true repentance and that desire to return to thy ways and that hunger and thirst after thee. Bless, we pray, our nation. Bless our Queen and Royal House, Prime Minister and Government and Parliament. Guide the affairs of state and grant better days in this nation. Days when thy word is kept and honoured and revered and loved as it ought to be. Lord, may the enemy's work be overturned and may we live to see the day when thy word and Ten Commandments are restored to their rightful place in our nation. Help us now as we come to thy word. Grant unto us thy presence, thy grace, sufficient, thy strength made perfect in weakness. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 617. The new man and the old by no means can agree. The one in sin is bold, from sin the other's free. The principles of grace and sin a constant warfare must maintain. 617.
Lord's help, we turn to this morning to the Word of God, the first opening chapter of John's Gospel, the 12th verse. 12th verse of the first chapter of the Gospel according to John. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. These surrounding verses are speaking of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, and of his coming into this world to save sinners. How he came into the world as a light, shining out of darkness. As he came into the world here as the true light, shining in a dark world of sin. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He was the creator of the world. He formed it out of nothing, and he sustains it by his almighty power. He came, the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The majority were strangers to who he really was. The majority would not believe that this was the one sent by God, the Messiah, which they were so longing for. Rejected of men. Despised of men. Abhorred of men. Despised. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. There were those who did receive him. There were those that did believe. There were those who did trust. And so it is in every generation of time. Those who receive him not and those who receive him. The believers and the unbelievers. The dividing line between those who have life and those who have dead. Between those who are on the road to eternal life and to eternal ruin. Which road are you and I on? But as many as received him, you never receive him by nature. Because by nature you and I are unbelievers. It is natural to you and me to doubt. It is natural to you and me to rebel against God. It is natural to you and me to despise and reject God and holiness. Because of the sinful, corrupt, polluted, vile nature that you and I have because of the fall of Adam. We are utterly corrupted. Therefore, we are born as unbelievers. But in God's sovereign time and way and will, those for whom he has a love toward will be changed. And we have in verse 13 all the glory and the power due to God alone, speaking of those who receive him by faith, which were born not of blood. That means they didn't receive him because it was their own will to receive him, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. It's nothing of men. It's not by inheritance. It's not because you've got it in the bloodline. It's not because it's passed down from one generation to another. Real religion's given in every circumstance. It's not the will of man. It's not your own will, and it's not the will of others that causes any man by faith to receive Jesus Christ. It is wholly and solely and completely and absolutely because it is the free, holy, gracious will of God that puts forth by his Holy Spirit the power of faith in an unbeliever to change that heart and make it a believer. To remove that doubt, that unbelief and that sin. And give him that grace and that faith to submit to the will of God, to submit to the truth of God, to receive him. The writer says, "Oh, that I now that rest might know, believe and enter in, dear Saviour, now thy power bestow, and make me cease from sin. But as many as received him, if you receive something, it passes from the hands of the one who gives it to you into your hands. You're given something. You're enriched because of it. So, beloved friends, real religion is personal, it's vital, and it is made up of the dealings that God Almighty has with your soul. If you are a real believer, you will receive of God what you need. And what will you receive? All the blessings that God has to give to one of his family. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. That margin reading, the right or the privilege. And what a privilege it is. If you and I are believers, there is no greater privilege to be able to be called a son or a daughter of God. If you can say, you can trace in your life that power of faith, that trust, that reliance, that fleeing to God. This word here, believe on his name, in the original it means rely. You trust someone who you rely on. You have confidence in them, you rest in them, you look to them for help and for guidance, for support. That's what living faith is. A reliance upon God. You're given that faith to rely on God, to flee to Him for refuge, to trust in His name, because you've been taught what His name is. You're not a stranger to it. Then you have the privilege to say that you are a son or a daughter of God and that you have a Father in heaven. What a mercy to receive from God's hand. Our Father. How often do we have the faith to call God our Father? Unless you and I have got a Father in heaven, we would never get to heaven. We all have a Creator, but that's not enough. These in our text have a Father, and there is a relationship between the Father and His family. This Father provides for them. This Father cares for them. This Father loves them. And if you can call Jesus yours, then you can call God the Father yours. My God, my Father, blissful name, oh, may I call thee mine. May I with sweet assurance claim a portion so divine. Ask God to give you that faith, to be able to call Him Father. Those of you who are natural fathers, it would wound you and there would be something wrong, wouldn't there? If your child never owned and acknowledged the relationship you have with them. Yet how many of God's children will never call God Father? True believers have the privilege and the right to call Him Father. And it honours and God and pleases God, and then they do call Him Father. Don't take it for granted. Ask that God will show it to you. And when you call Him Father, do it reverently. Not flippantly. He should be called Father with respect, with reverence, with an appreciation of who the Father is. But there's no greater privilege than to be able to say, my Father. My Father's hand prepares a cup. What He wills is best, whatever that cup is. And you'll be taught to rely upon your Father. To trust Him as a wise Father who can never, ever make a mistake. As a Father who deals with you in tenderest love and compassion. As a Father who knows your case completely, perfectly, absolutely, totally, and understands it even better than you do. And because He understands your needs better than you do, He will sometimes do that you cannot understand or explain or even want. But He's a wise Father. He's a good Father. He's a kind Father. He's a loving Father. and he only does what's best. He won't cause a needless tear. He won't cause an unnecessary trouble. It will all be divinely ordered, and there will be teaching and profit for it in your soul, as well as glory to his name which comes out of it. And submit to the will of your Father. And when you cannot see why, when you cannot understand why, rest in this, you cannot see, but he can. And that's all you need to know. And your deliverance won't rest upon your knowledge of your trial. It won't rest on your wisdom, your understanding, your ability, your grace. It will rest entirely on his understanding, his grace, his ability, his care, his counsel, his perfect knowledge. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. It will be tried. It will be tested. Satan will not like it. And he will do all he can to undermine your confidence and your trust in this blessed and holy God. But ask God to give you that trust that will endure, that faith which, though tried, will come out strengthened. That reliance upon him, that stability, that establishing, that deepening of the work. Sons of God. You are favored to be among this family. You have a Father in heaven. He rules in heaven. He reigns in heaven. And from heaven he reigns over the affairs of men. From heaven he is the High, the Holy, the Almighty One. And he has all the power, the ability. He is well able to deal with your case and to deliver you from your needs, to deliver you from those who attack you and distress you, persecute you, annoy you, do you harm. While they seem to threaten you, they do not threaten your Father. He remains over it all, ruling with all the power and the authority of Almighty God, which he will exercise on your behalf. Why? Because he loves you, your Father. And he'll teach you. He is holy, a holy Father. He is a righteous Father. He can be trusted absolutely, unreservedly, completely, totally, in any circumstance. He is faithful. He will not let you down. He will not disown you, even though you are a poor sinner. He is faithful. He is to be treated with respect and reverence. We are to bring the honour and glory due to his holy name. We are to worship him, to adore him, to love him, to obey him. Without question, without delay. As many as received him, To them gave he power to become the sons of God, to be brought under his rule, for him to guide . And it's a loving guidance. It's a needful guidance. He guides in your best interest. Even though you cannot always see it. Yes, it is sometimes dark. And sometimes the darkness may last for years. And God doesn't explain why. But you've got to submit. Your Father doesn't have to explain to you why. You have to realize that you are accountable to him, not the other way round. In mercy, he often does explain. But submit to his will. Be content. Trust him. Rest in the fact that he has perfect knowledge of your case. And the trial will not last forever. Even, child of God, if your trial lasts for the rest of your natural life, it will have an end at death. And in heaven, he will explain to you, if he doesn't upon earth, why it was necessary for you to have that trial and why it had to go on for the length that it did. He will give you the grace to bear that trial. As long as it is his will for it to endure. You'll prove my grace sufficient for thee. It's enough. You won't have more than enough, but you won't have less. You'll have enough. Because your Father's hand is supporting you. Your Father's hand is bearing you up. Your Father's hand is caring for you. You have a compassionate, a faithful, a merciful God. And one of the reasons you're in your pathway is because it is his sovereign will that you couldn't be taught the path, that what he intends to teach you in any other way. And when the trial has done its work, it will end. Seek then to glorify God in the fire by being patient, by being submissive. Ask God even to give you the grace to be thankful for the trial. And as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And as your Father, he has the authority and the right to determine what you should do, where you should live, where you should work, how you should spend your time. And if you are his children, you will be brought to acknowledge and obey that authority. Knowing that he careth for you. As your Father, he knows what you have need of. He knows that you have providential needs and he will supply them. He knows you need food and drink. He knows you need a place to live. He knows you need a place to work. He knows you need a door opening. He knows that you need that health and strength. He knows you need that patience. He knows you need that deliverance. He knows you need that wisdom in your family. He knows you need that home to live in. He knows you need that measure of wealth to live. And he will supply those needs. Your Father knoweth. And what's more, he not only knows, he cares. But your Father also knows that you need in your soul that bread and water of life. He knows that you need to be remembered that this is not your rest. He knows you need to remember that you're here but for a moment. And so he'll bring those things into your life to remind you you're not here forever. He'll bring those things into your life that will make you dissatisfied and make you seek your happiness in Jesus and in Jesus alone. He'll bring you to that point to realize that all real good comes from him. All true enduring happiness comes from him. That what your soul needs only he can supply in relation to pardon, in relation to peace, in relation to living that life that a Christian should live, bringing forth those fruits meet for repentance, bringing forth those fruits of grace and love and of the Spirit of God. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And his Father has provided for the greatest needs. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world for the very needs of everyone that are made up of this family. They needed pardon. They needed forgiveness. They needed mercy. They needed righteousness which was perfect. That obedience which was complete. They needed deliverance from Satan, from self, from sin, and from despair. And the Father supplied those needs in the person of Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. These who are the sons of God will be taught and find precious the various names of Jesus. That name of Saviour. That name of the Lamb of God, in which he made himself the sacrifice and offered himself in the stead of the sinner. A perfect sacrifice, a complete sacrifice, a sufficient sacrifice, an accepted sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. All that you can ever need, you will find in the name of Jesus. There's pardon in this name. There's mercy in this name. There's grace in this name. There is complete deliverance in this name. The name of Jesus, an all-prevailing name. This is a name which finds acceptance in heaven. And part of your reliance upon this name will be this. That God will hear your prayers, in which you bring to him your needs, because of this name, not because of your own name, but because of his name. And that will make you love the name of Jesus even more. The name of Jesus. The light, the true light, as he's referred to in the previous verses. But you'll know that light when it shines into your heart, and it will reveal the darkness. It will reveal to you the unholiness of your nature. It will reveal to you your sin. It will show you where you've gone wrong. It will show you your need. And then that light will reveal Jesus Christ as the one who can answer your need. As that one who can supply your need. As that one who can fulfill your need. And that light will shine upon the face of Jesus Christ. And it will be a smiling face. A holy smile, a perfect smile, a righteous smile, a smile of acceptance, of love, of peace. You'll know his name as a name of peace, that peace which passeth others by, that peace which rules and reigns in your heart, that quietness, that rest, that deliverance. That coming to that harbour and resting in Jesus. Resting in what he has done. Resting in what he is. Resting in his sufficiency. Resting in his holiness. Resting in his precious blood. Resting in his compassion. Resting in him as the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. That name of Shepherd, who supplies your need of food and drink for your soul, so vital for you to survive, his precious blood and body. Who provides for you and defends you. Who gives you that shelter. Who gives you that place to rest at night. Who leads you in the noonday to that shade from the midday sun. Who guides you into those green pastures and those still waters. Who provides you with protection when Satan comes. Who provides you with deliverance from his attack. Who provides you with rest. That name of mediator, an advocate who takes your cause and pleads it before the throne of God, the Father in heaven. That name of righteousness. And if you've no righteousness or obedience of your own, you will find very precious the righteousness of Christ. Because you'll need that righteousness. You'll flee to that righteousness. You'll rest in that righteousness. You'll be taught to appreciate it. You'll be taught to rest in it. You'll be taught to long for it. You'll be taught to hunger and thirst after it. The obedience of Christ. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You'll rely on him as king, and you'll come to love his sovereign rule and power over you, and you will be brought to see that he always reigns in your interest. not in your fleshly interest, but in the interest of your never dying soul, in your eternal interest. And so you'll be brought to see that in love he brings you out and separates you from your sinful life, from your sinful pursuits, from your sinful activities, from your sinful company. And of course your flesh won't like it, but you'll be brought eventually to see that he did it out of love, and he will supply and give you far more than what he graciously and lovingly takes from you. He'll more than fill up with his holiness, with his righteousness, with those eternal, true, enduring pleasures, pure, steadfast. The Word, as he is called here, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without anything, without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The darkness, light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. He has brought the word of God to men. He has communicated the thoughts of God to men. He has taught the precepts of God to men. He has brought down the blessing of God Almighty to men. Where the word of a king is, there is power. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of the will of men, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He is full of grace, he is full of wisdom, he is full of truth, he is full of holy love, he is full of holy compassion, he is full of mercy. This man receiveth sinners and eats with them. He doesn't reject them, he doesn't despise them, he doesn't drive them from his door, he receives them, he loves them, he does all that they need. He deals with their sins. He loves the coming sinner. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Take that back to him, that he is the friend of sinners. And ask him to show you that he's your friend. Well, this has been a strange sermon, hasn't it, this morning? But you must forgive that. But may it be your privilege and mine to be given that faith, to believe in his name. Without faith, you'll never get to heaven. But with it, you'll get safe home into the presence of your God. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £785, for which we're very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. There'll be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Chapman. And Mr. Pont is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, and God willing, Mr. Jempson next Lord's Day. Let us close with hymn 980. When sins and fears prevailing rise, and fainting hope almost expires, Jesus, to thee I lift my eyes, to thee I breathe my soul's desires. 980.
Thank you.
Do forgive, O Lord, all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care. And may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us. Amen.